Hey y'all, welcome back all my nerds, geeks, blurts, and freaks to another edition of Gadgets and Geekery Presents Geeky Sexual and Intellectual. Today my guest is King Kurt from Head Nerds in Charge. If you don't know who he is, you better find out today because his brother is popping. So he is also the co-founder of the awesome Blurred Fleet that I am now a part of. So we have a blurred collective with multi-talented creators of black content. So check that out over at Instagram at Blurred Fleet. So we're gonna get into it and enjoy. I'm just waiting. Hey, this is Q. This is probably the first live I've ever done. And I am waiting for my guest over at the Head Nerds in Charge. And we want to talk to y'all about some good shit. So yeah, I'm just waiting for Mr. Kurt of Head Nerds in Charge. So I hope you stick around. There he is.
Hey, it was good. Happy Juneteenth.
Nothing. Q. I'm over here mad dashing. I was like, let me hurry up. I got 2 minutes.
Listen, let me tell you something. And I don't think I'm trying to look cool because we had a heck of a kickoff to Juneteenth last night. And baby, the recovery is real. I don't want to see the daylight, the moonlight. I almost turned out all the lights in the room.
No, man, I was like, he not going to get my DM. This brother been busy all of the day.
Listen, let me tell you, I got in the house at 7 a.m. this morning, okay?
That's my God.
Yeah, black folk like Hennessy. I don't know I don't know what it is.
I like that brown.
Listen, they love Hennessy. They could Crown Royale was on deck. And I was smart enough not to touch Taylor's port, though. I knew better. I don't need that problem.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. We ordered barbecue. You was like, I'm barbecuing.
I got to call on the ancestors. We got to burn some stuff. You know, light some incense, throw some sage in the grill. You know how we do.
Well,
it's dope because one of the reasons why I think it's cool that we take this time out to kind of educate not only the people who follow us and our fans and people who support us is because for as much as we put out content, what we're doing now is kind of our way of giving back to other creatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just trying to build a platform and a network where, I put it like this, as a black creative, how do you feel our presence is in media anyway?
I think it's funny, and it's funny that you say that because I was just telling my husband, what were we watching? I can't think of what it was. Maybe it'll come back to me. But basically, it just seems like this month, everybody is pro-black. Like, they jumping on the bandwagon, Johnny Come Lately, all this other stuff. But I'm like, we've been telling y'all this forever.
We've been in the struggle a long time.
Yeah. It's not just cool now. You shouldn't be doing it because it's cool.
Right. It's the end thing to do.
Yeah, it's the end thing to do. So how long is this going to last? Because I was telling him corporations putting out all these letters about we stand with black people and we will not tolerate injustice and da da da. I'm like, that should have always been on your website. It shouldn't have just happened this month. So it's just like what they. Oh, I know what it, I remember now. I was looking at a report, in Comic News, and it said in February they're finally. I don't know how many years, so I'm just throwing them out there, probably 50 years. After 50 years, they are finally going to give Nubia her own solo comic in February.
Wait a minute, hold on. Now, you see, I didn't, wait a minute. You mean to tell me Nubia's never had a solo comic?
No, she had the issue with Wonder Woman when they finally met and they figured out they were sisters, and then that was it.
You mean to tell me, now mind you, you know, I was kind of hip to, it's, I guess being black, we're always hip to black superheroes, no matter how obscure.
Yeah.
You know, you know, we whether it be Cyborg or you know, Bishop or Forge, or, you know, whenever we see a dark-skinned superhero, we get excited. So to see a dark-skinned Amazon, you know, like, black people will probably know more about Nubia than they do Wonder Woman in some respects.
But and she's like a minuscule character.
No, she's not even relevant in most other
it's
than the
crazy that she's not. I'm like, they were made of the same essence.
Same cut from the same. But ain't that a great metaphor for how we are in America? We cut from the
in
same
America.
Cut from the same cloth. And sometimes a little bit better. But boy, we don't get no solo issues.
That's crazy to me. And I've been preaching this since 2014. I put a picture of her up and people be like, why are you trying to put up a black Wonder Woman? I'm like, first of all, calm the fuck down. And she's not just a made up fan art. It's super real.
Yeah. But you know, that reminds me of when they first put out Black Panther. Remember, everybody was so concerned as to whether or not a Marvel movie centered around Black Panther would sell. And black people were like, are y'all serious? Like, why would?
Yeah.
Like the fact that they even, you put out movies about Ant-Man, bro. And had no,
Ant-Man numbers.
Y'all done gave me two shitty Fantastic Fours, not MC, but I'm talking about just the movie. Listen, if Meteor Man and Blank Man can sell, we was going to come out for Black Panther.
And Black Man's kids.
Listen,
yeah.
Come on. We made Blank Man and Media Man successes. You think we weren't going to show out for Black Panther?
Oh, it's crazy to me. It's just crazy to me. So basically, like I said, I've been doing this since 2014.
Right.
And so when I first jumped in, you know, threw my hat in the game and the Instagram game, it was like people was coming for me. And I was like, why is this necessary? I have filters in Instagram where you can't leave comments with certain words. You can't say nigga, you can't say dumb nigga, you can't say stupid black bitch. Like, it was coming like that.
Wow.
So I'm like, why is this such a sacred thing that you are willing to degrade me and try to hurt me, because the shit don't hurt.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't want that negativity on my page.
Right.
So I'm just like, it's crazy to me that color will make people go crazy like that over some fictional shit.
Yo, and especially in nerddom and geek culture, it blends I understand you don't like that your character was changed. So it's for some people it's, oh, you changed my character. They'll be just as animate if you gender swapped them or if you changed their origin story. Because some people like original origin stories, you know, you change some things, people are like, but that's different from I hate this because it's a black person, not because you changed it to it, but I don't like black people and I don't want this character to be black, or I don't want to see this character highlighted. I want to see more of it. And that's why, like, Blurfleet, it's amazing to me because, okay, we already know mainstream, we have issues. But even on the independent circuit, you have all these dope creatives of color. And it's not just African-American, you know, our Latinx brothers and sisters, Asian brothers and sisters, Hindi, the entire spectrum of people of color put out all this creative content. And it's not until we build our own pockets, our pocket platforms to highlight it, that you even ever hear about it. Like, you wouldn't see a lot of the movies over in India and whatnot if not for Bollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, because Hollywood ain't gonna pick them up. But no. Bollywood, they like, okay, well, we'll promote our own culture. And I think that's what we're trying to do now is, okay, we understand there's so many different versions of creatives that we have within our color spectrum, but nobody's seeing them.
No. So I'm glad everything is finally, it's a slow crawl, but on a, you know, it's propelling. Yeah. And I'm glad, and I hate to say that because everybody wanted, you know, somebody going to be in the DM. Well, what about Blade? But yeah. I'm like, Blade was amazing, but Black Panther set it off.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what? You know how you can always acknowledge who opened the door, but it didn't, mm-hmm. like, no, but this person took it to another level.
Yeah.
Blade was, and look, let's keep it a bean. Most Black people didn't even know Blade was a Marvel movie.
They didn't.
If we just, let's keep it 100. Y'all just saw vampires and was like, oh, a Black dude killing white folk? Oh, I'm here for that. Y'all didn't learn that Blade was a Marvel movie till the Marvel banner logo showed up and when they got to the movies. They was like, oh, well, look at this.
But, yes.
You know, comic book fans, we had been hip long, long time ago.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. I just hate that, I'm not going to even say I hate, that's a strong word. I can't believe that we have to step out on our own, like you said, and make our own, and then we have to show that we can build financial empires with our content. And then that's when the others want to come and buy that content. Oh, we can see that it's financially feasible now.
Yep.
Now we'll do something with it. Like, no, they do it in all aspects.
Yep.
Hair care products.
Everything.
Whatever.
Yep.
Then they want to come buy it up after we didn't make
Why
did the
hard own BET? Let's think about that.
Yeah, I worked in radio. It's a huge radio station with mastheads is Black, but the behind the scenes is white. So...
And that's one of the things that we're great marketing tools, mm-hmm. but we don't own. Everybody,
yeah.
I just had a conversation with somebody where they were like, well, okay, y'all getting Aunt Jemima off the package and you getting Uncle Ben off the package. All they're going to do is replace it with white faces and then it's less Black people. And I said, we don't care. We're okay. Because I'd rather have a negative depiction of us removed and put your white faces on it. It's cool because we don't own it anyway.
Yeah.
It should be Uncle Tad. It should be Uncle Thurgood or Theodore or whatever. It shouldn't be Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben ain't never.
My homegirl was like, be real. We ain't eating no Aunt Jemima. We eating Equate.
I mean, like, they think we be mad about stuff that we don't be mad about.
I don't know. Because I'm not giving you my money anyway. And it may be because, you know, subconsciously, why you got that old slave on the front of her? I'm not fucking with that. Yeah.
And you know what? And I love it because I always enjoy having conversations. Because, you know, me and you cut from the same cloth. Because whenever you're in any kind of graphic art or marketing and whatnot, we know what symbolism represents.
Yeah.
I pass in the market and I look at that package of Uncle Ben. I love rice. I'm a big rice fan. And Uncle Ben got this dope, like 90-second rice where I ain't got to cook it all the time. I just throw the thing in the microwave. I put a little steak on it. It'll taste real good. Now, I like Uncle Ben rice, but it amazes me how just the symbolism, every time I see the package, I'd be like, a deep sigh. But I'm so used to it that you almost accept it. And it is not until systemic change happens when they finally are forced to say, you know what, maybe we need to back up off it. I'm like, you know what, I have hated this package for a long time, and now I'm reminded that, take my brother off of there, because he ain't getting no royalties from.
Yes, and it's crazy that you said systemic, because some stuff is just ingrained in us from the time that we were born. So, for example, I'll give you my daughter. So she's been watching Disney Channel all her life. The majority of kids on Disney Channel are white kids. They've been slowly sprinkling Latino kids and Black kids and Indian kids in there. But in her head, that's just normal. This is just what they play. So I'm telling her, you know, no, it's Black shows out there. I remember when I first showed her The Proud Family. She watched that over and over and over.
Representation matters.
Yes, and she didn't even realize she was doing it. I was like, I don't even know how many seasons it is. I'm going to say three. She watched them three seasons. Back to back. I had to cut her off. Like, I can't hear the Proud Family song no more.
Like, look, Yes. I appreciate that you love it.
Yes. But if we had more content, she wouldn't have had to keep rerunning it.
Let me ask you a question, Q, because I know we're around the same age. I ain't going to tell a business. Yeah. I don't want that problem. But
oh, I don't care. I'm 40 and fine.
In the early 30s. All right. I see you, no, baby. Sir. Listen.
I'll be 41 next month.
Really? See, you know what? Y'all better. I want to see some hearts for that. That look. But you grew up in the Nickelodeon era like yeah. I did, right?
Yeah.
When we
and Adult Swim and Cartoon Network.
But think about Nickelodeon back then. Think about who we remember when you say black actors on Nickelodeon. And I only two jump into my mind instantly because they're the only ones that's still relevant today.
The only one I can think of is Old Boy from Hey Arnold. That's all I can think of.
No, not even cartoons. I'm talking about real people. I'm talking about real human beings. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with Disney, ain't nothing but white people. But think about Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon had nothing but white kids, but there's two black people that we instantly are the only two that I can think of is Kenan and Kel.
Yes, that's it.
But outside of them, you'd be hard-pressed to remember, and maybe the black girl from Salute Your Shorts, but I don't know her name. Like, it's not like I could tell you. I couldn't even tell you her character's name.
And the two black Power Rangers. That's it.
Walter Jones.
That went on Nickelodeon,
yeah. But that's the thing. We only get the onesie twosies. Most of the Power Rangers, which is... But the majority of it is still white.
Yeah.
Like you threw in Walter, which trust me, having a black Power Ranger was dope. But why he had to be a breakdancing?
Yeah. Man.
Well, he the only Power Ranger with a shotgun. Really?
Yeah, it's always a stereo. You gotta fit that stereotype.
Oh, he gonna do a pop lock and a kick and then shoot him with the shotty.
Exactly.
All you missing is a 40. We appreciate you.
And a baby mama.
And a baby mama. They got a baby mama. She a Beetleborg. That's what
it is. Absolutely real. So I'm just like, it was lacking hard, but then that was life.
Yeah.
You didn't even think about it. It was nothing to think about. That's how programming was.
Somebody said the last Power Ranger team is easily the most, but see how it takes time to get to that point.
Yeah.
It takes
Power Rangers came out when I was in freaking eighth grade.
Right.
Ninth grade, something like that.
But you can listen in every instance in TV and media, it's the same pattern. Even okay, Captain Planet. Once again, supposed to be diverse people from all over the world, but the majority were white people. I mean, in the team, Wheeler and Natasha, and we was just so happy for Kwame. That Negro, he and they kicked Kwame out the group at one point. So I feel away. So what? The one person that gets kicked out of the planet Tears was the black guy. Okay, bro.
See, it's subliminal. All this stuff is subliminal. People don't get it.
No,
like even when I love me some Star Wars, but I'm like, just recently, black people ain't in the future. Like if you think about it, every futuristic film in space, ain't no black people. Like they are right. We are not in the history of the future.
Listen, that's what scares me. Because everything everything in the future, I don't be seeing us like that. I be hoping that we Mandalorians and that we just under the helmet. Cause I'm like, please, like they didn't even have people of color like that until they started cloning us. They had to clone poor Django to get more color. It was like, we running out of niggas. We
I know. It was like Lando. Lando was the only.
Lando Calrissian. Yes.
he was like, fuck this. I'm riding out in space, okay?
Lando the Avatar. That's what it is. He the last one. The last cloudbender. That's what he is.
Yes.
That's why he was in Cloud City. He the last cloudbender.
He was out there bending bitches and coasting on these stars.
Listen, he was like, we gonna go in it. And that's why he was like, look, don't nobody come up here. I'm the last black man in the galaxy. I'm trying to live. Don't. That's why when he betrayed them, I understood. He was like, look, y'all bring this white violence, this white on white crime to my city. I'm chilling. I'm just trying to live.
But you know what else I think of? And it just hit me now. So you know how it's always somebody, oh, you know, and I hate to throw out these cliches, but they are said. When people say, oh, my black friend. And then so I'm like, okay. So if TV shows you the blueprint of the friends with the one black friend, yep. Then it translates into life. So they don't see nothing. Oh, I don't see anything. I have my one black friend because that's the quota, one black friend. Yeah. So I'm just like, okay. And I see people, you know.
They're not going to put more than that.
Yeah. It's just crazy to me. I remember, what was it, on the CW? Say it again.
No, I'm saying, go ahead, on the CW.
No, like, so what was that TV show that, you remember Eve, the rapper Eve?
Yeah, I remember that.
He had a TV show, but it was all black girls, and they had the one white friend.
One white friend, as you should. Which, small caveat, I went to high school with Eve.
Oh, right?
Yeah, she's from Philadelphia, yep, went to high school with Eve. She was one of the dope ones that got out of the hood. We was like, huh.
Yeah, you married a billionaire.
Yeah, listen, I ain't mad at her either. Look.
I ain't married at either.
Look, I would have married him. Listen,
goddamn right.
If you could pay with your way, baby, I'm out in these streets. What you need me to be?
Exactly. It's like we could buy all these motherfuckers. Who cares?
Look, let's start this empire and promote black people because that white man love him some Eve.
I know, because my mama say I ain't gay, but if Oprah want me, Oprah can have me.
You ain't. Oprah and Stedman. Can run a train on me right now. If I could help, these bills got to get paid one way or another.
And I want to be taken care of.
Listen, my OnlyFans ain't popping like that. I got one subscriber and
you kill me with that. You kill me with that. You never get a following.
Listen, look, Agnes is my only follower. She's 73 years old and she's blind. So she's just doing it because she loved me.
She's like, his voice sound good. His voice.
He sounds sexy. And I don't tell Agnes what I look like, because then I believe her. She was like, describe yourself. And I'd be like, no, Agnes.
No, Agnes.
I sing Negro spirituals to her every Thursday.
It's audio therapy. Man. I'm really glad that you reached out and, you know, with this, you know, with the creation of this, your brainchild, and then you let me be a part of it, and a ton of other, you know, talented, creative people.
I can't, if you don't mind, I can't say that. I put it like this. I just, in business and life and creativity, I've always learned that it's better to have a collective of people because I know I'm not the smartest person in the room. And when we got linked up and, you know, like Frankie and now with James on board and Blurview and we start getting into the collective of creatives, it started as Nerdfleet, and it was just a means of us kind of collaborating. Blurfleet is genuinely everybody's brainchild because it's not what I originally started, and what we're going into and what it's turning into and what we're trying to build it into, it's an equal parts collective. And I can't say I allowed you. I said, hey, Q, come on back, because we got something coming. And literally you have been one of the front runners to kind of give us a look to the culture. That graphic, that logo blew everybody away. And your insight and the fact that, you know, you've been riding out hard with me on some hard topics on my show. And you get, I told you, we've done at least 10 hours of content time. I'm telling y'all, if y'all don't know, go check out your girl. Cause when we get into these topics about police brutality, when we get into these topics about how to support black women, Q has been one of the perennial guests and co-hosts on my show that really shine light and educate, you know, our personal viewers to the point where we're supposed to have a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
I don't think the first time Q was on the show, we went 6 hours. The last time we did it last Wednesday, we went 4 hours. Because when you pick...
Because it's not like stuff that you can just clear out in a matter of an hour or two. And I always say that before I ever saw a comic book, I've always been black. So you black first. These issues ain't going nowhere. So you black first and the nerd second. Mm-hmm. So you just keep brushing under the rug. And I'm going to tell... I think I told you on my last... when I was on your show the first time, that there was a guy that I was following, a black gamer, and he got online just to say that he wasn't going to talk about the issues that were going on. I was like, so you just wasted 2 minutes of my time to tell me that you're not saying something about something that you're saying something about? Unfollow. I went to all his social media, unfollowed him. I'm like, how are you going to take a back seat? You're a black man before you are a gamer. I didn't need to hear that. So you're trying to be conscious about not losing your white followers, basically.
Yeah.
That's you could have just kept on doing what you was doing and didn't say shit. But yep. I was like, you have taken a stand by saying that. That's a stand.
Yep. And actually, by saying that, he took a stance in opposition. Because sometimes being neutral is placating to the oppression that you're trying to fight.
Yeah.
I have to admit, if we're into what we're doing simply for the follows, then you're already into it for the right reasons and you won't get the happiness that you want out of it. But like with you and me and your podcast and our show and all the platforms that we're building to take this opportunity to talk about, educate, and speak on.
Oh, I lost you. Oh, there you go. Sorry.
There's plenty of people who we love and appreciate that might not be people of color in our lives, but we don't get to have these hard conversations until all hell breaks loose and we almost burn America down.
Mm-hmm.
So they, whether they admit it or not, they got questions, but sometimes they might not be as comfortable to talk to you. But guess what? Listen to my content, and you'll hear how we feel, how it affects us on a daily basis, and how you can be better to help us.
Yeah, because it's not even anger based. It's speaking from the heart. This is because I've been in therapy before. So you don't go in therapy just screaming all your anger.
Right.
You're at peace. You say what hurts you. Y'all, you know, break it down and you learn how to move on from it or just be okay with it. It's something you can't change. Yeah. So in that, and that's very therapeutic. Your shows are very therapeutic because you can get it out. It's not a lot of screaming. It ain't a lot of back and forth. It ain't a lot of bashing of a race or a gender. Yeah,
I didn't think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's one of the dopest things. It's like when you hear a caller finally say their piece and they get it out, no matter how you feel about what they said. But when we finally get to put it into the atmosphere, it does give you a cathartic feeling like, OK, at least I got it out.
Yeah. And not to boast somebody else's show, but I finally saw Tough Conversations with a Black Man. Have you ever watched that before? I watched the one with Matthew McConaughey. I thought that was beautiful because Matthew McConaughey is a white man. He grew up around predominantly black people,
right?
But just to hear his side, ask the questions that most white people want to ask, but they're afraid to.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's all in presentation. If you screaming at me, trying to make me believe your opinion is truth, I'm like, you can't tell me how it is to live in this skin. So what are you screaming about? But if you say, I don't understand, how can I understand? What can I do? When I did this, was that wrong? I don't know.
Right.
Because if you grow around your old people, you don't know what you're doing is wrong. I've been in that situation too, where I had to sit people right. You can't say that shit around me.
Yep. And you know, and that's, oh man, QG, we about to go in now. See, because we're supposed to be done at 3:30. But look, I'm gonna just say this real quick to what you just said. This is one of the reasons why. So I had a conversation with somebody who exhibited prejudice. Mm-hmm. And just didn't understand why black people got to tear down statues of Columbus now all of a sudden because somebody died at the hands of a cop. And I had to show how it correlates, how now it's all symbols of oppression. We know we're oppressed. We're reminded now, and now we're tired of it. But everybody kept saying, and, you know, people would jump in the conversation and cuss him out. And I'm like, that's not going to help him.
Yes.
And I need to find out whether you're ignorant or willfully complicit, because that's the difference in the conversation. If you make a conscious decision to be prejudiced and ignorant, then I can't communicate with you any further because you made that conscious decision. But if you don't know no better,
like
the little white girl that comes up to a black woman and says, "Ooh, I love your hair," and then grabs a handful of your hair, baby, you could snatch her whole soul out of her back. Or you get this one warning.
Yeah.
Don't do that to me or any other person of color. We're not pets.
Yes.
Set them straight. And then if they do it again, now I got to whoop you.
Now I can let the fire loose.
Because
I didn't need to blow up on people on the train, in my college, at my job. I had them because I always had a huge afro. and I'm at the copy machine, and this boy grabbed my fro. And I say, I will go to HR today, sir. You don't touch me. That's touching me.
Yeah. I know. And whether they admit it in some way, shape, form, or fashion, people, non-PLC people, have a certain level of entitlement that sparks. Because you know why? When a cop pulls them over and the first thing, what the F are you? We just don't do that. We put our head down. Officer, license, registration. We don't have the same reactions to life that you do because you have led life without the same consequences we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we live a life of cause and react. We know if we do this, this is usually the reaction that we have been met with.
It can follow. You have to see three paths of your reaction. Like, if I do this, that'll happen. If I do this, that'll happen. I don't want none of that to happen. I'm just going to sit here with my hands on the steering wheel.
Yes. We be doing calculations in our mind.
Yeah.
We be really on some old genius level Professor X. You know how Spider-Man would always go to the lab and start figuring stuff out and be like,
or that woman that you see with that meme with the lady with all the calculations.
We'd be like, all right, let me see. If my Negro increases 10, divide the Billy Club against my ass, subtract my common sense, multiply the bullets in the cop's gun. Like, we gotta do all that. To the point, because I don't know how long y'all plan on staying here, but me and Q got barbecues and people over to come hang out. I have to say that it's so dope being a part of a collective of people of color, supporting people of color, promoting people of color's content. And that's what Blurred Fleet is. If you haven't had an opportunity to go follow it, it's at Blurred Fleet on Instagram, and it's BlerdFleet. Blurred Fleet is real simple. And we've got a lot of dope things coming out. Our content, others' content. Q got this amazing podcast that, honestly, if you on this live, you should have already been listening.
Didn't listen to it.
Y'all, shameful to be out here gawking at us, and you ain't listen to a pod. So you can go do that now. Definitely go do that now.
My little piece that I want to salt bay on it.
Go
is
ahead,
that
talk, do it.
I had to search out, like literally, like I had to write a thesis. So I was doing research and hunting down Black content back in 2014. So all the people I know now that I'm, you know, we like family in the DM, because I had to hunt them
down.
You've
been doing it.
Now you really don't have to do that, and especially with the Blurred Fleet, you won't have to do that. It'll be there. It's all, we've done all the work for you.
We're trying to make it easy for y'all. And like you said, we've been in the struggle long before it was trending. So now that it is trending and everybody's interested, do us a favor. Go over to the Blurred Fleet page. Take a screen cap of the logo. Tag Gadgets and Geekery and show love for the logo she made, and advocate for people to go follow. You do that twofold. One, anybody who needs a logo or graphic art design or anything, now you start at building an economic bubble for us.
Exactly.
That's a promotion, that support. Like, if you're on this live right now, and it don't look, I'm only telling you to take 30 seconds of your time to do something really dope. Go to Blurred Fleet right now. Page or your stories. Tag Blurred Fleet. Make sure to tag Gadgets and Geekery and say, hey, dope logo. If you need logos, go holla at. And then say, go follow. That one little act, especially today, in the weekend of Juneteenth, if you want to do something, do that. And that little simple gesture will set in motion things that you may not know will come to fruition in the coming weeks.
Because people don't even know. And that's what I try to... It's like preaching the gospel of share. It don't cost you nothing. You could be enlightening and improving somebody's life, and you don't even know
it. You don't even realize it. And it's done in numbers. Because the more people, the more exposure, the bigger the platform grows, the better we can support creatives and give them a bigger platform. Keeping it on the low key, just coming into it, Blurred Fleet collectively has over 300,000 followers.
Yeah.
300,000. That's crazy. like the collective, and we're, and don't, we're by any stretch of the imagination, we're not in the collective. We have 300,000 followers and have a reach of over tens of millions. And I can say that without flexing too hard, because we're about to hit 10 million reach.
Oh yeah, you got the receipt.
Listen, all I'm just saying is check, you want to check our analytics. I'm talking about just my show is hitting 10. So everything, once we add all the extra sauce, tell the people, tell the creatives, come to us, give us your content, allow us to repost it. We'll definitely credit you. We'll definitely make sure it doubles back. Let's get on this ball and start promoting each other, because at the end of the day, we can't complain that we're not in these spaces if we're not even bigging up our own people.
Exactly. And I show love for people that support me. I like to do giveaways. Listen, so, hey, that's that.
As long as there ain't no conflict of interest clauses in it, I'm in it. I need, look, black folk love free stuff. I'm sorry. Everybody love free stuff, but black folk.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, we love it. So, yeah, man, I'm just excited to see what you have, man.
Listen, and I can't wait, just because, and last point, our black sisters are largely represented in this group. A lot of times, you know, the brothers take over. But what I tell you, we got some of the dopest sisters leading the charge and being support. At least I would like to think that we're properly supporting. And if we don't, they'll tell us.
And we, because we don't take no shit.
They don't. They
I'm too old to take shit.
They don't play no games. You heard me?
Oh, man. All right, Kirk. Well, I'm glad I could talk to you, dog.
Listen, so anytime, this ain't going to be the last time we do this. All I'm going to say is save me a plate. I'm going to hop a flight to Texas tomorrow. Grab it.
Oh, you started a plate?
Listen, I'm saying I need you to just put one aside. Make it a big plate, too. I need more than one rib, because I know y'all barbecue down there.
Oh, man.
So put a plate aside. Happy Juneteenth. Kiss the babies. And hopefully we'll see our platform grow together. We'll see more of us in content and media. And by the time we come back to Juneteenth, we're going to do this again.
And we can have a convention like Frankie won't buddy. Juneteenth.
Listen, y'all don't understand. We about to be popping. I don't want to say. I'm just going to keep it a bean. We about to be popping. So just... support us. It don't take much.
All right, baby boy.
All right, mama. I'll talk to you. And like I said, happy Juneteenth, babe.
You too. Love you.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, y'all. So that was the live with my brother, the head man in charge. Yeah, same thing. Head nerds in charge. That was Kurt. So please support us. Come over to the page, follow the page, share all the content we put on the page. We got some great creators over there. If you know anybody that needs the spotlight shined on them, please forward it to myself, Head Nerds in Charge, the Blurred Fleet Instagram pages. We are here for everyone. So it's the Black Collective, but we are here for everyone. If you want to be for us, we for you. So come on through. All right. Y'all take it easy.
All right, y'all, that's another episode of Geeky, Sexual, and Intellectual. I hope you enjoyed it, and I really hope that you go over to the Blurred Fleet on Instagram and support us all. We have about 22 black creatives doing everything that goes through the spectrum of being a geek. We got artists, we got music, we got content creators, we got graphic designers. I'm not gonna toot my horn, but I'm one of them. So yeah, we got everything. So if you're in search of black content, we got it for you. And you can actually find Blurred Fleet over on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and on some of our platforms, we are adding links for the Blurred Fleet and how you can get in contact with us all. So if you would like to support the show, please go over to Anchor. You can leave a tip there, or you can send me a little piece of something over on Cash App at $GadgetsAndGeekery. Also, we have new merchandise over on the website at gadgetsandgeekery.com. I'm also trying to see, I'm sorry, let me fix my vocabulary. I am selling acrylic figurines of the mascot of Q for Gadgets and Geekery. We have a 5-inch that is 15, and we have a 7-inch acrylic stand figure that is 18, I believe. So I'm doing pre-orders, and everything that is sold will be shipped out in July. So again, this is another episode of Geeky Sexual and Intellectual. I'll see y'all next time. I'm out.